Man Up, brought to you by Construction Professionals, a program dedicated to inspiring and helping men live lives of heroic virtue. Join Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kowski every Monday at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. And now, it's time to Man Up.
Another year goes by, more beers, more smoke.
Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up Studios, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. Around the globe, streaming online at iowacatholicradio.com and on the Iowa Catholic Radio app. Also, please subscribe to our podcast on iTunes and like us on Facebook. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today, we are joined by the co-founder and CEO of JAPA, Joe Stevens, to discuss their work that answers the call to shelter the homeless. And we will learn what we can do in our own lives to live out that corporal work of mercy. Father Zach, would you please open us up in a word of prayer?
Absolutely. And I thought, since today is the feast of St. Anthony of Padua, the patron of lost articles, items, that we could say a prayer asking for St. Anthony's intercession. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. O holy St. Anthony, gentlest of saints, your love for God and charity for his creatures made you worthy, when on earth, to possess miraculous powers. Encouraged by this thought, I implore you to obtain for me my request today. O gentle and loving St. Anthony, whose heart was ever full of human sympathy, whisper my petition into the ears of the sweet infant Jesus, who loved to be folded in your arms, and the gratitude of my heart will be forever yours. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it's the feast of St. Anthony,
yes,
Padua.
Yes.
And are you guys doing anything at your house for that feast?
Yeah, so Father and I talked a little before the show. He wants me to share this cute story. So my daughter has a little prayer book, and it's like prayers for, you know, young kids in the Catholic Church. And so she kind of has memorized which saints are in there. And I mentioned something kind of off the cuff. You know, I'm looking at our calendar, and it's, you know, the feast day of St. Anthony. And she goes, oh, I get to lead prayers tonight. I have this in my prayer book. So she got really excited about that. And so
the power's gone to her head.
Yeah, she has the power of the prayer. She can
How old is Rachel now?
She's five.
Wow.
Five going on 10. You and I have been, we had a quick update from our lives in the last few weeks and wanted to just update our listeners on where we're at, what we're doing, what's coming up. Today's episode is one that I'm really excited about, first and foremost. We've been trying to coordinate with Joe for a while. The stuff that JAPA is doing is incredible, and we've talked and we've had many episodes on the corporal works of mercy, whether it be giving food to the hungry. We had Mark Parrish on for burying the dead. We're going to do an episode on visiting the imprisoned, but this is a great one for sheltering the homeless. So without putting anything away from that, we've been working hard to have him on. He'll be a great guest. But you, Father, had a pretty significant update in your life.
Yeah, that's right. Well, I was in the Holy Land.
That would be an update.
Last week. That was my first time in the Holy Land, and it was wonderful. It's kind of hard to describe, but for me, the trip really was all about walking in the footsteps of Jesus and just seeing, like, okay, like, this was an actual place. Like, these places are real, and they're still here. And to see, for me, the distance between different sites, like, the distance between Bethlehem and Jerusalem, and which really isn't that great, you know, it's like a 15-minute drive. Yeah. Yeah. And then the distance, which is like 3 hours drive from the Sea of Galilee to Jerusalem. So just seeing how far things were apart, and also seeing how rough, really how like kind of hostile and rough the land is, like the soil and everything, just makes a lot more sense when Jesus talks about soil and rock and all that. I think for me, my favorite part was, there were many favorites, but I think going to the Sea of Galilee and going out on the boat. We had 17 people in our group, and all different ages, from college to, you know, retired, and to be able to go out on the water, you know, really, which hasn't changed. The mountains are there. There's some hotels and things there, but unlike Jerusalem or other places, it really hasn't changed that much in 2,000 years, and so you really, kind of your imagination is really, I think, stimulated when you're out on the water, and just being able to, you know, see the fish, you know, jumping out of the water and see the sign that says no swimming, which I wanted to disobey.
You should have done.
I should have done. Didn't want to worry the rest of the group.
I wanted to get that picture.
next time. Well, but it was great.
And we're looking forward. We're going to do an episode on kind of diving deep into what you learned from there. So that'll be coming up as well. But how appropriate that you were at the area where Jesus gave us the command to shelter the homeless. Jesus gave us the command of the corporate works of mercy that we're supposed to go out and do to our brothers and sisters, and you're there where he's doing it. And today we're going to talk about how to physically do that here in Des Moines in our own lives. So when we get back, we're going to head to a short break, and we're going to have Joe Stevens from Joppa in studio with us. Stick around. We'll be right back. Thank you, construction professionals, for underwriting our show, Man Up. Construction professionals have been long supporters of Iowa Catholic Radio, and we've seen their work firsthand. It's very impressive. They do remodeling or new construction that is innovative, functional, and designing what you want. CPCustomHomes.com. My help comes from you. You're right here pulling me through. You carry my weight. Welcome to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. We are broadcasting from the Mercy Live Up studio, heard on 1150 AM, 88.5 FM, and 94.5 FM. I am Joe Stopulos, along with Father Zach Kautsky. Today we're joined by Joe Stevens.
Joe is the co-founder and CEO of Joppa Outreach here in Des Moines. The organization started in December of 2008 when Stevens and his wife, Jackie, along with their son, Caleb, decided they wanted to identify and help out with unmet needs of homeless people here in Des Moines. So the organization has grown considerably since then, and their mission is to create communities of unconditional love, support, and hope for the homeless as they work together to prevent and ultimately end homelessness.
Joe, welcome to the show.
Great to have you here.
Thanks for having me.
Thanks for joining us in studio as well. So first and foremost, thanks for the work. You're doing unbelievable things here in Des Moines. I've seen it in many different ways. I've done some stuff with Joppa. You've spoken at my Rotary Club, actually, and a few other things. And so first off, just thank you.
Praise God.
You guys are doing – it's just awesome. And I think for us, as we focus today's show on the corporate work of mercy of sheltering the homeless, you guys did it from scratch. Tell us about what started – what was the – how did this even start?
Yeah, so my wife and I, you know, like many people, we were busy with our careers and thought that someday we would reach a certain point and then start, you know, spend the rest of our lives helping people. And God sort of showed us along the way as we were doing some short-term mission trips and some volunteer work that that's not what he had in store for us. And so when we were out with another organization helping folks that live literally in the woods and some tents and shacks, it was in the mid-90s here in Des Moines.
In Des Moines, okay. Wow.
Yeah, just south of MLK, downtown, and we met some folks that were living, you know, in the woods, and, you know, God did something in our hearts that night. It was simultaneous. We both experienced at the same time and got in the car and talked about it, and basically it was just an unveiling for us of our purpose and why we are here. And so once we understood that this is why we had been created and why we're here, then it just became part of our lives from that point forward. So although it wasn't something we got to right away.
So what's the next step then? Obviously the seed's planted, now it's growing, and then at what point do you say, I mean, it has to be a first step to do it, right? I mean, you go out and just start helping people at random and...
Yeah, you know, we were busy and you know, we had that excuse of busyness and so we did what we could when we could do it, which was great. And then after our son was born and he got a little bit older, we thought when he was seven, he was old enough, ironically, to go out to homeless camps and start helping people. We decided we needed to make a commitment to start doing it every month. And so what we did instead was we made a commitment to do it every week, one day a week, just as a family, not going to tell the grandparents, not going to tell anybody else, definitely not going to start a nonprofit, just going to do what we can as a family. Yep. And that was our commitment to start with.
Wow.
So and that was in September, like you said, of 2008.
So when you went out there, when you started out with your family, what were you doing when you went out to the camps?
You know, mostly right away, it was for us about unconditional love, not having an agenda, just developing relationships and meeting immediate needs, whatever those might be. And so those immediate needs were food. We always took food. We always took water. And then we began to learn that people in the summer need bug spray and they need tents and things like that when they can't. You know, people time out of shelters. You can't stay at shelters year-round. So there are 4 to 6 months a year if I try to go to every shelter where I'm unsheltered. And so we really just went around and tried to meet immediate needs and really tried to understand what's next for people and why are they in this situation, and really kind of thought we could help everybody get out of it more quickly by understanding it. And so we really asked a lot of questions.
So when you're speaking with these folks, is there a theme that kind of runs through, you know, how they find themselves there in that situation? I'm sure everyone has a different story, but
you know, every individual situation is absolutely unique. Having said that, there are, you know, kind of commonalities, and everything generally falls down to circumstances, things that happen to us that are out of our control, whether it's an illness or whatever, and things that we do to ourselves, bad decisions we make sometimes when we're young and our brains aren't fully developed, that then last with us the rest of our lives.
Yeah. So you guys start 2008, 10 years ago. It's just crazy how fast it's gone. Just you and your wife and your child. At what point do you realize we have people that want to join us? I mean, obviously you now have a coalition. You have an entire company, entire nonprofit. How quickly did this start picking up?
It was within the first 6 months. In December, another organization stopped providing heat when those of you that were in Des Moines at that time might recall the news features and TV stories about them tearing down the hooches and the fire that broke out. Little Eddie got burned. Yep. And so at that point, another organization stopped providing heat. And that was an expensive proposition. They had been investing, you know, $2,000-$4,000 a month during the winter on making sure people stay warm and survive. So when that happened, we felt like God was telling us to pick that up, and yet we didn't have the means to continue that. And so some friends kind of caught wind of it, started helping us. And of course, at that point, we're operating as a sole proprietor and not able to give out donation receipts. So we looked actually first for another nonprofit we could come under, but we couldn't find anybody else that that our vision was aligned with, and what we were called to do fit well with what they were doing. And so in the end, we did start a nonprofit the following July. And that was the beginning of JAPA.
So now I'm going to take us a little bit different. Now fast forward, it's 10 years later. For people who maybe have not heard of JAPA, who have no idea what you guys do, obviously right now we've covered the genesis of how it started. 10 years later, what does it look like? What are you guys doing today?
Sure. Well, at the highest level, JAPA helps homeless people survive, find housing, and rebuild their lives. And you already stated our mission. And what we do is we work with other agencies and help homeless people navigate those services, understand where they need to go, how to get there, who you need to talk to, and really access all the available resources. And then what happens is there are gaps in services. And that's what JAPA does. We're more of a ministry, and we reach out to people and churches and those that corporations and foundations that care about this space. And we develop unique programs that meet these unmet needs. And so really all of these programs and services are in the areas of outreach, housing, and education. And so, of course, we help people survive. We help people get into housing. We're developing some housing. And we also have these education programs like JAPA Kids, which gets kids involved at a very early age and is helping perhaps prevent some homelessness in future generations and create some more compassion.
So you say unmet needs. Could you kind of walk through, and you touched on them a little bit. Just give us a little more detail on unmet needs. So I know that there's Central Iowa Shelters they're doing some good things, and you've got government assistance over here. What are some of the unmet needs that you saw?
Sure. And we depend on those organizations. And yeah. Central Iowa Shelter, Melissa O'Neill over there, they're doing awesome work. So what happens, though, is where there's not ongoing funding sources, there tends to be a lack of programs. And, of course, that's where ministry steps in. And so no program, no profit, no program, no margin, no mission are things that in the nonprofit world, you know, we believe as good business practices. So JAPA works with all those organizations, but then tries to create these other things. So, for instance, as examples, transportation to get to all these places is an unmet need. Helping people pay for their meds.
Physically getting a person to the shelter.
Yeah, or to maybe a doctor's appointment. Yeah. Maybe they're staying at the shelter or they're in a tent and they need to get to an employment interview, or they need to get out to get a haircut and they need to go, you know, to see their doctor. And these are transportation issues. If you're homeless and walking, it can be very difficult to get from here to there. But like heat in the winter, tents, if you do time out of a shelter, can't get back in.
So time out of the shelter. So I've heard you talk about this. I think some people would say, well, there's homeless shelters. But to your point that you can, there's only a certain limit of how long you can stay in them, right?
Yeah. Homeless shelters are often full. And they're not designed to stay out year round. And so they have to have shelter time limits of how long you can stay. Most shelters in Central Iowa are 30 days per year. Central Iowa Shelter has the longest stays. It's 90 days at a time. The first time that you're in, then you've got to be out 90 days, and then those time periods start to decrease from there, as I understand it.
Yeah. So, Joe, can you talk a little bit about the we talked a little bit before we went on the air, but about the tiny house village?
Yeah, so we're trying to develop fundamental solutions to homelessness. And one of the things in researching what's out there, we discovered were tiny home villages, and they're operating across the country successfully in other states. So we began to visit them, to study them, to get their operations manuals, to find out what's working, what's not working. And we brought kind of took the best practices and brought a design with BSB Design, our architectural partner here in town, to Iowa. And we proposed a tiny home village, and it's 50 units. It's a place people go for 6 to 24 months to gain a source of income, overcome their other barriers to housing, and then they move on. They graduate and they go into permanent housing.
Do they have to pay to rent these, or something that would be supported by the nonprofit?
They're supported by the nonprofit. There's no requirement for income. It is 30% of your income or utilities. We ask that people pay utilities up front. It's about $25 a month for a tiny home at the most. Or 30% of their income. And the goal is that we help them develop the skills and develop a source of income so that they end up paying too much for the tiny home. They're incentivized to move on into permanent housing, which might be a traditional apartment, or it might be one of the cottage homes that we're building.
So now let's segue to the cottage homes. Let's hear about this program.
Yeah, so the cottage homes are market rate homes. They start at $300 a month in rent. The fastest growing segment of homelessness are folks over 65, and we have that are often living on fixed incomes of under $1,000 a month. We have veterans, we have disabled, we have formerly homeless. They need a place to live that they can afford. So while it's possible to help some people get their incomes well above minimum wage, it's not possible for everybody, and it's not possible for everybody to have a full-time job, especially as they age. And so we need to prevent that type of homelessness and provide people coming out of homelessness a place to go. So these are cottage homes, also designed by BSB and built to code, so we don't need special permissions, and we're really excited about
it. So you'd mentioned on the tiny house village that it is a proposed, quote-unquote, village. What needs to happen for it to be a real thing that we see with regularity here in Des Moines?
Well, we need to find a piece of land that we can get approved, and that's really been the issue for
us.
We've got the financial wherewithal. We have the right team in place. We just brought on a housing development director that comes to us from principal real estate investors, and so we brought on the core competency that we need. And really, we just got to find the right climate, and we may end up having to go outside of the city. We do have one council member in town that's very supportive of this. He's a new council member, just got elected, and that's a breath of fresh air, because in the past, those that have wards have sometimes liked the idea as long as it's in someone else's ward.
Mm-hmm.
And those at large, like Chris Coleman, he likes the idea. He's supportive, but he doesn't have a ward, so he can't help us get permission for that land.
Got it. So it's a political struggle that you're facing right now.
It's a bit of that, and not in my backyard. We need what's called a PUD approval, and that means that we have to do everything right with the neighborhood associations, with the city, and basically the stars have to line up for us to be able to make that happen.
Well, so for our listeners here, you know, we try to do a lot of call to actions, and your organization is one where, to me, it's already set up. You guys have already, you've done the legwork. Now it's just a matter of getting plugged in. From a volunteer standpoint, what would that look like for me if I'm going to go help out with JAPA?
So we have a plethora of volunteer roles, from day of event type roles for certain events to, you know, I've got some time free next Tuesday, to people that can plug in on specific roles. And that's what a lot of our volunteers, we had over 20 we had 2,392 volunteers contribute 42,000 hours just a couple years ago.
2,300, wow.
Yeah,
wow.
But that includes a lot of day of event volunteers. And frankly, most of our staff are volunteers. And so we have staff positions. Not only do we do the outreach and the housing and the education that I mentioned, there's plenty of places to be in direct services, but we have a lot of people working on the business, so to speak, as well, behind the scenes, helping with events, helping with
what's
IT.
What's an event?
So we have...
I'm assuming it's a 5K run walk. I'm kidding.
Yeah, yeah. So we have five signature events a year, and I'll start with the Iowa Homeless Memorial. It's at the state capitol every December 21st. We remember people that died homeless in Iowa. We have the Homeless Christmas Celebration. Homeless people don't get invited to a Christmas celebration with a wrapped gift under the tree and entertainment and catered food and stuff. So we do that typically. And then typically they don't get invited. We always do that. And we'd have what's called Project PJ, which is the last Friday of January, and it's a place for schools and workplaces to wear their pajamas to work in school. They can do supply drives. There's a lot of other things they can do to help put homelessness to bed. We do the JAPA community cleanups the first weekend of April. And to date, we've working side by side with the homeless, we've been out and picked up over 500,000 pounds of junk and debris and properly recycled and disposed of that in the community. And then we do the one big fundraiser a year. It's called the Down and Out Homeless Fundraiser. And it is in November.
And what does that fundraiser look like?
It's a kind of a dinner gala type of thing with an auction.
Cool.
Rich Willis was our MC last year. We had about 350 people, and we raised a significant amount of money. It's a lot of fun. It's a dress down event, which people like.
It's fun.
And people learn, and it's just a really awesome event.
So you got the big five events. On top of that, if I wanted to come, I'm obviously the Sundays is how it started, or one day a week it started. Are you still doing that? Is that ministry still out there where we're on the front lines?
Absolutely, yeah. Our main outreach day for volunteers are Sunday afternoons, and you could call and get plugged into that. We do outreach to camps all over Des Moines. We have five outreach routes, each with multiple people, and we have trained route leaders. We can train people to become route leaders. We also have routes that go out to aftercare, to folks we've helped get off the streets and are in the process of rebuilding their lives. One of the reasons that program and our retention rate is so good is because we try to surround people with a circle of friends and try to help them with not only the mentoring and the clear thinking and next steps, but also the social aspects so that they can stay off the streets. And so those are some of the things that we're doing. In the winter, on Saturday mornings, we have a winter heat team that also goes out to every single camp that we're aware
That's
of.
Great.
And so there's a lot of opportunities to get involved.
So as we think about your involvement in the last 10 years, you've probably dealt with thousands of people. Do you have any, people, not necessarily by name that you want to name, but any success stories that you would point to, or any kind of favorite moments that you've experienced in this ministry?
Sometimes when you're working with people, it's two steps forward and one or two or three backwards. And then someone comes along and tells you, how much one of the volunteers or one of the interactions has meant to them. And it just, refills your reservoir. I've got a lot of success stories. One I would just speak to right now that is top of mind is James Nicodemus. And James was a floor supervisor for flooring and lost his wife. He'd been a floor installer for 45 years, lost his wife, I was trying to remember, 30 years. He was with his spouse and his partner, and she died in 2014. And his response to that was to start drinking, ended up with several OWIs, ended up homeless. And after he was homeless, was diagnosed with cancer and stage 4 cancer. And so we were taking him from his tent to Iowa City for treatments. Just recently, we helped him get a job, helped him get off the streets through Anna Wim Housing with primary health care's help. And just recently, he's got a job not only doing the flooring for someone that he used to work with, but this man hired him to now fly around the country and be a supervisor. He's making $50 an hour, and he was living in a tent last year. So his cancer's in remission, but he's still struggling. And keep him in your prayers. Yeah. But his name is James Nicodemus, and he likes to go by Nick.
That is incredible.
That's great.
I'm sure you have many more stories, similar to that, because, again, the work you guys are doing, it's all over the place. I just think it'd be great for our listeners to hook up with you guys. How can they do that?
You can reach us at joppa.org, or you can call us at 288-5699, and we'll be happy to get you hooked up.
Awesome. Well, Joe, it's been a pleasure to have you on the show. Again, thank you for all the work you do, and keep up the good work.
Thank you guys so much for having me.
Awesome. Well, stick around. We're going to head to our break, and when we return, we'll be back with Father Zach to wrap up the show. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Man Up on Iowa Catholic Radio. I am Joe Stopulis, along with Father Zach Kautsky. And, well, Joe Stevens is an inspiration, Father. There's just no other way of putting it.
Yeah. He is convicted about this cause, and he believes it.
And he's given his entire life to it. And what an example for us. I see a lot of parallels between what Magnus McFarland did with Mary's Meals and the genesis of that versus Joppa, obviously on different scales and slightly different problems. But, Magnus, if you've listened to our interview or if you've heard him at Christ Our Life or read his story, it was a simple, we're going to do one thing. His brother and he went to feed one village in one war-torn country. And then when he came back, he realized that they needed to do it again and do it again. And then all of a sudden, he's feeding a million kids a day. Similarly with Joppa, on a smaller scale, but obviously very local, very real, they went out one Sunday. They helped, a family.
And then started small.
Started really small. They took that. They just listened to the Lord. The Lord said to do this. They put it on their hearts. Mm-hmm. And the thing is, they said yes. Similar to Mary saying yes, that yes is a big deal. A lot of us oftentimes can hear that voice in our head that says, well, you don't need to do that. You can do that. They answered the call. They heard the word yes, or they said the word yes to the Lord's call, and look what happened. thousands of lives changed. Obviously, that example he gave is a stark one that just happened within the last year. But thousands of lives changed, and people who can aren't dying of frostbite in the winter because they have heat. People who are meeting other human beings face to face. And Pope Francis talks about that all the time.
But yeah, I think that you talk about a relationship and helping people to be plugged in with other people, to have friendships, to be supported. And you know, I was thinking about as he was listing the events they have, the memorials for those who have died, and Christmas, and those who are down and out. Just the fact that they're helping them feel human, and just like reminding them of their dignity. But also, I think they're doing a good job of trying to help them forward, you know, so it's not like they're stuck in that poverty forever, yeah. But they try to give them the tools to be able to get out of there and to flourish. So yeah, I really appreciate that.
I think it's interesting on the, you know, they, as you're talking about meeting these unmet needs, there's an unmet need today of whether it's food or batteries or heat, and they try to provide socks. I mean, when I did it with our buddy, we were literally bringing them socks and batteries and some other things that things you wouldn't think of, like they need batteries to have flashlights. They need to have socks as their feet mm-hmm. are freezing. Just getting those kind of Band-Aid first. We need these today, and then we're going to find them into transitional housing, and then we're going to get them into longer-term housing, and then hopefully get them into a permanent residence. But again, I think the call for me when listening to Joe talk is, you know, what am I doing in my life? Where am I being called? What am I supposed to be saying yes to? You know, I think we all have those, especially if we're being attentive, if we're praying every day and we're keeping our eyes open to those needs. They're there. And another thing about Joppa is, in a very Pope Francis-esque spirit, is they're meeting people. I mean, not just sending a check in and then hoping something else happens. They're down there with the people, putting a face with a name. They're getting to meet those people. So, you know, I think of my alma mater, Marquette, had cura personalis, which is care for the whole person. That's what they're doing. And it's not just tear some shoes, have a good day. It's mm-hmm. getting to know them, putting a name.
That's the greatest need, is to be treated with dignity and respect.
And oftentimes it is. Yeah. So we would encourage you, if you could, to get connected with Joppa. Help them out any way you can. Then also, again, keep your ears open and find out what you can be saying yes to in your own life. Iowa Catholic Radio is listener-supported, so please consider making a tax-deductible donation today at iowacatholicradio.com. And thank you again for joining us on Man Up. For Father Zach Kautsky, I am Joe Stopulis. It's time to Man Up.
Man Up, inspiring men to live out their call to holiness with Joe Stopulis and Father Zach Kautsky. Heard Mondays at 9 a.m. and 9 p.m. on Iowa Catholic Radio. Brought to you by Construction Professionals.